My message tonight, I've titled it Prayers That God Answers. And, you know, we all believe that God answers prayer, and we've experienced that. But is he going to answer the prayer that I'm praying now? And how do I know? And, you know, I've been praying and waiting maybe for a long time, but how can I be sure that while I wait, that he actually heard me and he's going to do something? Well, in John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and you can turn with me there if you'd like. John says in those verses that we can be sure that God has heard our prayer and he will answer it before we receive any of it. So, reading now in verse 14 and 15 of 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So this is the John who is writing to the first century church and to us today by the Holy Spirit. He's addressing issues of believing. This is the John who wrote the Gospel of John and quoted Jesus saying a similar thing in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this is the same John who wrote the book of Revelation. Now, going back to verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. First note that there's a conditional promise going on here. Hearing our prayers is based upon his will. The Greek word for confidence is parousia, and it carries the meaning of cheerful courage, fearless confidence. And the preparation, the confidence we have before him, is a preposition of direction that can be translated. This is the confidence we have toward him. We need this confidence when we're praying and waiting on the Lord. We want to know that he heard us, that we're praying according to his will. You know, we've got life issues that we face every day. And it makes it a little bit easier knowing that we're on track with the Lord and what we're asking. What we're talking about here is really the walk of faith, which he's called all of us to. So it's at the cross that things changed. We were crucified to our flesh, we're crucified to the world. We've been bought with a price, we're no longer our own, we're his. And so it being dead to the world and dead to a sinful life, now what we have before us is living for him and living through him to please him. So we're given the Holy Spirit, the scripture tells us, as our guide and our enabler with the promise of everything that we need. We'll find it in his word, and that it's ours for the asking, and we can believe that. So this is the confidence that is ours, and knowing and believing what he says and then asking for that. And it's ours by faith. We haven't seen it with our eyes, but we've seen it with the eyes of our heart. And all of this takes place not by ourselves, sitting down and reading our Bibles, but sitting down with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, illuminating his word to our hearts, that we begin to hear his voice through his word and understand what he is doing in our lives and what he wants to do and what he wants to give us. In verse 15, my paraphrase of verse 15 is, we know that we have what we ask because we're asking for the good things that our loving Father wants to give us because he loves us and we need him and we need the things that only he can give us. So this message is really more of an exhortation, encouragement to be praying God's word, because that's when you're going to see things happen. Not that you wouldn't see them otherwise, because God knows all things and we don't even know how to pray most of the time, and the Holy Spirit has to show us probably all the time. So I'm going to share with you this evening some of the places that the Holy Spirit has me frequently visit when I'm praying God's word. And I just want to clarify, this is not a formula. It's not a pattern or a model. It's not even the example that you should follow, but it is an example. And I want to share it with you because I think there would be encouragement through it. And I believe that each one of us are to be free in the Holy Spirit to let him lead you through his word and how you should pray. So we'll make plenty of room for that. But I'm going to share a little bit of my prayer life with you tonight. First, I'm usually led before the throne of grace, according to Hebrews 4:16. And it's there that I ask for his mercy and his grace fresh for each day, because I see that it's there for the asking and the coming. And it's there that I ask him to search my heart and remove the offensive things that he finds in my heart or in my life. And that's according to Psalm 139, verses 28 and 29. And I have with David his loving kindness in view, according to Psalm 26, 2 and 3, because when I'm asking God to search my heart, to know my heart, and test me, it gets a little bit scary. So I have to remember that we've got a merciful God that knows everything anyway, and he's going to deal with me in a way that a heavenly loving Father would deal with the Son that he loves. It's there that I lift up others that come to my mind. It's there that I ask for the nearness that he promises in James 4, verses 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. The nearness of his presence that I need for that day and every day. And it's there that that involves cleansing of sin, my hands of sin, and purifying my heart of double-mindedness. I'm reminded when I'm on my knees there before the Lord that he has offered a promise to forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin when I confess my sins, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This feels very good when I get done. It's there before the throne of grace that I ask to know him more, to see his beauty, as David prayed in Psalm 27, 4, to behold his glory, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and be changed from glory to glory by his Spirit. It's there that I ask to know his love in a greater way, the love that has no bounds, the love that's beyond all knowledge. It's there that I ask to be filled with the fullness of God, according to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. I realize that there is always going to be more and more of him to know, more and more of his love, more and more of his power, to be filled more and more with him. So I probably pray this prayer a lot, if not every day. And I pray this prayer often for you as well, this church. It's a prayer, in my view, that's so complete. To be strengthened with his power through his Holy Spirit in our inner man, that we would that he would be dwelling in our hearts through faith, that we'd be rooted and grounded in his love, that we together as his church could know how, comprehend how wide and long and high and deep, to know his love beyond knowledge, be filled with his fullness, and then he would do exceedingly abundantly more according to his power that works in us. That gets exciting. That's a prayer that's Paul prayed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it's God's will for us. So we ought to be praying, probably praying that prayer every day, and believing that God's going to do it. And I experience growth in that way, in knowing his love and loving with his love, and being strengthened with his power. And then also in Colossians 1, it's there. I pray the prayer that Paul prays to the church at Colossae, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they could walk in a manner of pleasing him. And on it goes. Praying his word. I can hardly bear the thought of stepping out into a new day without asking him to surround me with his love. And I bring this prayer, I bring people before him with this prayer, that he surround us with favor as a shield, according to his promise, a promise, Psalm 5:12. So why wouldn't I ask for that? And I have asked, and I have experienced his favor fairly regularly, right? Actually, and I'm aware of what he's doing. And that's him, his touch, his favor with myself, with others, with those around me. And not just for my benefit, but for his glory, and seeing other people being touched by the presence of God. And I don't know my own way. So I depend on him every day to instruct me and teach me in the way I should go, and to counsel me with his eye upon me, as he promises in Psalm 32:8. I'm just amazed that he would spend that much time with me, that his eye is always watching. He's instructing me, teaching me, and he's counseling me with his eye upon me. I'm reminded that he's working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. As Paul states in Philippians 2:13, he is working in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. So I'm asking for that sensitivity, that I can sense his promptings. And I realize in Psalm 37, verse 4, that he gives me the desires of my heart as I delight in him. And I could hardly miss a day that I'm not praying for renewed strength, as mentioned and promised in Isaiah 40. Especially you get older, you know, physical strength to walk through the day and be victorious, to be fruitful, to be still green and full of sap, declaring the goodness of the Lord. So we're instructed to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. So I'm reminded to ask for that, according to the promise that he states in Luke 11:13, that he gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask. There are so many good things that the Father wants to give us, His children, to help us and to bless us. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, He gives us good things. He's a Heavenly Father that knows what's good for us, and He wants to give it to us, and He wants us to ask. There's a relationship involved in asking. You're coming before God, and you're talking to Him, and you're asking. It reflects how well you've been listening to what He's been saying, because as I said before, as you hear Him, what He says in His Word and what His heart, His will is, so you'll be asking those things. So asking according to His will is in direct relationship with how much you've been paying attention to Him and what He wants to do in our lives. And of course, that brings us into that we're not living for ourselves anymore. That we're here to please Him. We're here to walk out His will and bring glory to His name. We know that He wants us to be involved in the harvest, bringing in the harvest, planting, watering, shining His light, being children that love with His love to the point where the world sees it and they want to have what you have. So as we spend the time in the scriptures with the guide, the Holy Spirit guide, we're going to see that there's promises. If we are facing trials and we need wisdom and endurance, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 9, there it is. He promises to give it. Deliverance out of all of our afflictions, a promise given in Psalm 34, 19. Everything we face, God has something to say about it. And He wants to help. He wants to show us that He's there and He loves us. He's got a plan. He's got works established beforehand that we'd walk in them. And so we'd be asking, what is that? What should I be doing, Lord? And pretty soon He's going to put something before you that blesses and honors Him. You're suffering with sickness, financial problems, discouragement, heaviness. He cares. Cast your cares upon Him, and He will answer in a way that even is beyond what you could think or imagine. So praying His word, His will, and see for yourselves in a greater way, if you haven't already, that He hears your prayers, and you'll see a confidence in your heart that He gives you, that faith being the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things you haven't seen. A lot of this you people know, a lot of these things you've practiced, and maybe you've laid it down or got rusty, or maybe you didn't know. But this is a word for encouragement to keep praying God's will and have that peace that passes all understanding that He's heard you, and you're not just waiting, but you're waiting with faith in your heart. And it's obvious that God is not into just taking us from point A to point B, that there's some little side trips that He might take you on. For instance, in the scriptures, an example that came to my mind is He gets in the boat and He says to the disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they all get in the boat together, and everything is smooth. They're in the center of God's will, and everything is, as Ben would say, hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, here comes the wind and the waves, and there's a terrible storm, and the boat starts to fill up, and you guys know the story. It's interesting how it works as we try all that we know to try to deliver ourselves or to solve the problem. Professional fishermen that have been on that lake many times, they exhausted all their resources and then they come to Jesus, who's sleeping in the boat, and said, "Lord, don't you care?" And that's kind of it, is that we wait oftentimes, maybe too often, to call on the Lord, the only one that can help us. And then we kind of look at him like, "Don't you care what's going on?" He said, "Yeah, I've been watching a long time. I believe that Jesus was sleeping, but there's no way that he was sleeping and didn't know what was going on." So they call out to him, and what does he do? He deals with the situation. He does a miracle with the wind and the waves. And what comes out of his mouth? "Where's your faith? Where is your faith?" And what comes out of their mouth? "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So the side trips that he might take us on, he takes us on to show us more of himself, that we could know him in a deeper and greater way and who he is. And also probably to show us a little bit about ourselves, that we're very tiny, very little, and he's very big. And he's there for us. Beth and I and Ben, we have felt a tug in our hearts that the house that we've been living in 23 years, there's a new season and a horizon. And we just felt after praying that it's not going away, it's getting stronger, it's time to move on, to pick up, thin out, scale down, whatever you want to call it, and prepare for what God has ahead for us. Not knowing exactly what that was, but anyway, taking steps in that direction, and then we, through prayer and seeking God, we experienced our house being sold at the right time to the right people. We had a desire in our hearts to want to take some trips and do some things that we never been able to do. So when the house sold, we took some fun side trips and learned some things about ourselves and what God is saying, just being removed from your normal pattern of things. We ended up scaling down a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of stuff yet to go in storage lockers. We're kind of in limbo right now, waiting on the Lord to move us along. We've had at least two wonderful road trips. We sold our car, bought a new car, and we've been provided for with lovely accommodations in this transition period, but we're at a place where, like many of you, we're waiting for the Lord to show us something that we can't see. And I think it was James that was saying that the Lord's really good. Brought that to my attention. Where is James? Anyway, there's another James there. Anyway, about how the Lord, and sure enough, it's in the scriptures, it's the Lord that's able to reveal his word and to conceal it. He can conceal his will, he can reveal it, and he's doing things. We're not standing still, and you're not either, in whatever you're facing. He's got a plan, and he's working. And so, young and old, all of you, as you continue to walk with the Lord, pray his will, pray his word, and find your hearts being encouraged as you wait and experience the joy of seeing him work in your lives and bring the things that he wants to bring. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, for your trustworthiness, Lord. You would trust you with this life and this life to lead us through, and all the things that we face, that you've loved us and made provision for that. And then forgiveness of sins, a new covenant where you actually live in our hearts and will lead us, protect us, and make us more like you. And then when we get done here passing through, then we get to be with you forever and eternity. So thank you for this moment, Saturday evening, where we have a little time to just review all who you are and how much you love us, and that you want us to talk to you. You want us to ask, and you're there. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.